The affordability and sustainability of social and healthcare services as Australians live longer has front and centre in comments made leading up to the budget in the last couple of weeks. Senior ministers like Kevin Andrews, Peter Dutton and Joe Hockey have all signalled changes. We're lucky in Australia because we've still got a relatively young population, but in every Western nation, they're having the same debates. And if you want to peek into the future and how it might be dealt with differently, what better place to go to than Japan, the longest lived nation in the world, where there's a quarter of the population aged over 65. We are at 14% or so. And the size of the population in Japan is shrinking as well. I was in Japan a couple of weeks ago, but I was surprised to find a bit of a sense of panic in the Abe government with their health and social care systems. Even though in Japan people don't just live longer, they do work longer and approach old age in some interesting and innovative ways. So as Australia looks at raising the retirement and pension ages even faster and further, it's timely to see what's happening in Japan in case anything might be applicable here. John Campbell, Professor John Campbell, is a visiting scholar at the Institute of Gerontology at Tokyo University. Good morning and welcome to Saturday Extra.
Good morning. Thanks very much.
Was I picking up the right vibes? I mean, a lot of people I was talking to were saying that I was hearing the same debates coming from the Abe government as we're hearing here in Australia. Is this is unaffordable, unsustainable? How are we going to continue our health and social care system into the future? Was I picking up the right tom-toms there?
Sure. As you would if you talk to conservatives in any capital in the U.S., as you say, including in Australia, where you only have 12% old people. Double that number, double that proportion in Japan. So it's natural that conservatives would focus on what a horrible, how much this is all going to cost in the future unless we sharply cut back. Where on the other hand, if you talk to people that are more on the liberal side, they'll worry more about adequacy of programs and you know,
well they still worry about
we can't afford it one way or another. Sure,
yeah.
I mean, no question, it's a you know, substantial part of the budget. There are fewer and fewer young people that are going to be working to pay for it, and so paying for it all is a serious concern. However, the rate of aging in Japan was fastest from, you know, the 1980s till about now. The actual number of older people in Japan is just about to plateau off and remain stable for the next 30, 40 years. So the number of old people,
which is because the supply of new people into the age group is slowing down.
Well, it's because, yes, exactly. The Japan had a very sharp and very short baby boom post-war, and that baby boom generation is just now retiring. So once that group is retired, we go back to a steady state, pretty much, of the number of old people. Of course, the proportion still keeps going up because the overall population, the number of younger people, is going down.
You certainly do see a lot more older people on the street and in the shops than you do in Australia. It's noticeable. And one of the innovations that I came across while I was there was a training system for people in shops and banks to help deal with people with dementia.
Yeah, that's the Japanese government has decided to at least sound like they're getting serious about dementia, and in some ways they're doing it very well. Part of it is this trying to generate 1 million people across the country to have a short little period of training and acquaintanceship with dementia issues. So the way they phrase it is, if they run into somebody, you know, wandering around in the town past their shop or something, they'll be able to deal with them, or they could take care of someone in a bank. And people have signed up for that. There's been a fair amount of enthusiasm for it. I don't think that's, you know, the key to dealing with dementia issues, but I think it's helpful.
And there's about five. I'll come back to how people are dealing with dementia in a moment. One of the responses that I came across in Japan at this conference I was at was actually keeping people, that one of the roles of the healthcare system was to keep people fit longer so that they could work longer and reduce the burden on the social welfare system.
Well, some would say to work longer, and others would say that the point is, if you can postpone people becoming frail by a year or two, it would be better for them and you'd save a lot of money. Either way, it's the same thing. Japan has always believed in screening and kind of preventive medicine not so much preventive medicine as exercise programs or lifestyle changes so that people will stay healthier. And in fact, the Japanese older population is not only the largest, it's probably the healthiest in the world. That's not mainly due to government programs. mainly due to diet, and that people, Japanese are kind of hypochondriac, so they do take care of themselves pretty well. But the fact that there's an annual free medical exam for everybody, and the doctor gives you advice if you have what's called metabo, or basically a big waistline, but, you know, poor, in poor physical shape that way, so more risk for diabetes and so forth. So they try to get you involved in an exercise program and that sort of thing.
So give us a sense of the policy responses to the aging population in terms of income support, social and welfare, and health services. How does it all work when you're over 65 in Japan?
With regard to income support and health services, you know, Japan is pretty much the same as other. And I mean, it has its little wrinkles, but it has universal health care like everybody else except the United States. It has a pension. Everybody's covered by a pension. The amounts of the, they, like many countries in the world, in 1995 and again in 2004, they cut back on the amounts of future pension benefits to make it more financially responsible. So the pensions will be, you know, will be adjust according to economic and demographic conditions. So all of those things are, there's nothing particularly special about that, to, in my eye. They all have certainly problems, and paying pensions with a declining number of people paying in is certainly a problem that they're worried about. One advantage in all this that's often overlooked is that all of these age-related problems change rather slowly. You could say the same for shortages of workers and so forth. It's all a matter of a 0.5% or 1% a year in a world where many of these economic indicators are fluctuating up and down, you know, more violently than that. So markets and governments can kind of adjust to this 0.5% or 1% a year change a lot better.
Tell us about the adult daycare setup, because that is one innovation in Japan which we could learn from.
Which?
Adult daycare?
Yes, thank you. I was about to answer your question by saying the place where Japanese policy, I think, is more distinctive is that it has put quite a lot of energy into developing home and community-based services for frail older people. As you know, probably, of people over the age of 65, something like 10 to 20% of them have some degree of impairment or disability that hampers their regular life, and that goes up to around 25-30% for people over the age of 75. And they can, one thing is to go into institutions, and there's plenty of demand for going into nursing homes in Japan. But most gerontologists and people who look at budgets both think that it's much better to have people receiving care while living in the community. Now, this is a point that most advanced countries, including Australia, have recognized, and they try and push these services. But Japan has probably taken it farther than just about anybody else, I think. And the really distinctive part is that while in most countries, home and community-based services mostly refers to people coming into your home, either for what you call body care, helping people eat or go to the toilet, or for homemaking or cooking something. That's by far the most common. In Japan, however, there are more people go to daycare. 3 or 4 times a week, they get in a van, they go to a daycare center, they spend 6 or 8 hours there. While there, they have lunch, they take a bath. Baths are very important in Japan. They have socializing activities, they get some exercise, and then they go home again. And between socialization on the one hand, and it gives a break to family caregivers on the other hand, it seems to me it's a very good program. And the numbers of people that get that are really very, very high in Japan. Actually, one statistic I had is that of people over the age of 75, 8% of them, of all people over the age of 75, are using daycare these days. It's well over 1 million people.
And is there much stigma attached to people going to residential care? What about family links and family support, which traditionally has been strong in Japan?
Mm-hmm. The big change has been that it used to be that most people over the age of 65 live with their children. The number was as high as 80% in 1970 or so. And that's just been going down very steadily. Now it's just around 40%. 40% of people over the age of 65 live with an adult child, either married with a family or unmarried. And that's a very high percentage. I'm sure it's way higher than Australia. It's way higher than anything in the West. But on the other hand, it's come down an awful lot. So it depends, you know, glass half full or half empty. it's a high number, but it has come down a lot. So family support in the sense of living together certainly is much less than it used to be, which is one reason why the government has you know, intervened with its long-term care insurance program.
There's lots more we can talk about, but don't have time, unfortunately, including small-scale dementia care, which is fascinating. Mm-hmm. But finally, is the labour market more open to employing older people than you might see in the United States or Australia?
Yes, probably not so much in people's regular company jobs that they held all their lives, but rather they move to another job, and the jobs aren't necessarily terrific, but there are a lot of mechanisms for helping to do that. On the one hand, the labor market is one side of it. Demand for jobs is on the other side, and it does seem true, whether it's cultural or what it is, that the Japanese do seem more convinced that it's a good thing to work, partly for income, partly to stay healthy and stay, you know, socialized. That does seem to be more common in Japan, and that's as big a factor as the labor market itself, I'd say.
John Campbell, thanks for joining us on Saturday Extra.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
John Crichton Campbell, who's a professor and visiting scholar at the Institute of Gerontology at Tokyo University.